who's decided she'd rather be on the platform today than out in the crowd with you. Before you leave today, if you're a mother, we want to honor you. My wife will be at the door with a special token to say thank you, and that Life Church appreciates you and all the time and effort that you put into raising your family and your children. And I am not the scheduled speaker today. There was a Sister Schoonover was going to be here today and was going to be speaking to you, and I was very much looking forward to that. And she fell very ill last night and texted me a few hours ago and said she was not going to be able to be here. And so I say all that to say nothing that I'm going to say to you today was some preconceived idea, something that I've been conjuring up or working on for a while. But as I begin to wait on the Lord in the coffee stand line, things began to unfold to me, and there were a couple of cars in front of me, so I pulled out my notebook and began to write, and then it just kind of continued to flow into the prayer room. So things I'm going to share with you today, we're looking at together, and I wish I had time. The Lord had inspired it earlier. I'm sure He'll bring revelation on the fly, but I'm interested in some of the things that we're going to discuss today, and I hope that maybe it inspires you and triggers something in your spirit to go dig deeper into what the Lord would have to say through some of these examples that we're going to look at today. Could we pray one more time? Why don't we just stand together? All the kids have been dismissed and everybody's on their way. Would you just reach out to the Lord one more time and ask Him to open your mind and your understanding today as we reach out to Him? Want to receive of Him in Jesus' name. Father, You know of every circumstance. You know of every situation in the room today. There's nothing that is hidden from You. There's nothing kept from You, Father. There's no secrets from You, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray, let Your ministering angels work and move right now. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus. You can be seated. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who at times has issue with this. I at times have trouble identifying with people in Scripture because you look at their lives. I think innocently we place them at times on pedestals. We set them up as heroes. We choose to look at the good of their lives and not necessarily the bad, or we skim over the bad. And there's not a lot talked about. With regard to the bad, we pick on one guy in particular, Peter, because he was so obvious in denying the Lord, and we look at his life every now and then, but we don't focus a lot on the bad. Or when I say the bad, I don't mean like they were bad people. I mean they were everyday people that had rough times. They were everyday people who went through tests and trials. They were everyday people who faced circumstances just like you and I did. And so, you know, when we read Scripture concerning Jesus, that He was tempted and tried and tested in every way that we are, we have a hard time identifying with that, number one, because He was God. I know it's truth. You know it's truth. He was tested in every way just like I am. He went through what I've gone through. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no situation that you can throw at me or throw up to me that He hasn't gone through, that he hasn't faced Himself. I like to mess around at work sometimes, and I have a man superior to me who I report to, the guy I directly report to. He's been in the industry for 30 years. He's seen just about everything, and every now and then I'll think that I've stumped him. I was telling Brother Heiner of a certain situation a few weeks ago that I was sure I had him pinned into a corner, that he had never seen anything like this before. And I went arrogantly, not puffed up, but like, I got him this time, put it in front of him. He's going to be on my side. He's going to light this guy up. And he just said, yeah, actually, you can do that. You can do this and this and this. And I was so deflated. I walked out of there thinking, this guy's seen it all. But it's hard for me to identify with Jesus like that because I see him high and lifted up. And how could he identify with my issues? How could he identify with what I'm feeling right now? How could he identify with what I went through just to get out the door to get to Sunday church? How could he identify with what I went through Monday through Friday just to get to the weekend so I could sleep in on Saturday and somehow cruise through the rest of the day and vacuum my dirty floors and clean the dishes for the last week and then get to church on Sunday and then go home and start all over again? How could he identify with that? And then I look at these other heroes in Scripture, people, the heroes of faith, people that we look up to, and they are people just like you and I who went through daily struggles, people who failed, people who went through hard times, people who had to deal with sorrow, people who were acquainted with grief, as we heard last week in Isaiah, people who understood what it's like to fail, people who understood what it's like to stumble and fall, people who understood what it was like to get angry at God, to question God. They understood all those things. They went through those things, but I feel like at times we're just so disconnected from them because they're mere comic characters to some of us until the Word becomes alive to us. Until I learn to understand that the Word of God is true. This is history. This is more than comic characters and capes and masks and funny suits. These are real life people who went through real life issues and real life problems. Brother Kendrick. Brother Kendrick's helper. Brother Krager. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to focus on a couple of scriptures here, but I don't want you to think that I'm taking this out of context. And so we're going to read chapter 10, verses 1 through 13 in the KJV. It says there, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. Everybody say all of them. And all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, everybody say many, was God not well pleased. Wait a minute, I thought they were all heroes. I thought they were all great people. I thought they were all people that I couldn't possibly identify with. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is one of the verses I want to focus on. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also all lusted. Keep an eye on that first part. These things were our examples. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye. Everybody say murmur. As some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all, everybody say all. All these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our, everybody say my admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. We'll read on. Verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We're living in a day and an age where the family is under attack from every side. I'm not going to get into a lot of details of that today, but you know what I'm talking about. And of that family system, fathers are being bombarded from every side with all kinds of temptation, allurement. Divorce is at an all-time high. Sexual perversion is at an all-time high. The online world has opened our homes up to so much influence and pornography and sexual perversion that is attacking our husbands. And when all of that happens, there's heavy, heavy weights that fall onto our mothers. And it leaves moms to pick up where dads leave off. And where men fail, women have to pick up the pieces. And I know that I'm not picking on guys today because it goes both directions. I understand that there are women who fall off and men have to pick up the pieces. I'm not trying to be gender biased here today, but more often than not, mom gets left with everything and all the pressures and all the holding of everything together and making sure everything goes good. Is it fair? No. Is it reality? Unfortunately, yes. And I constantly feel from mothers, and it breaks my heart that they're all alone. And how could anybody identify with what I'm going through? And I'm not even just talking about single mothers. I'm talking about mothers who are married and have good husbands, men who care for them, men who love them, men who provide for them. The pressures and if you, man, we're going to get in all kinds of trouble here today. I hope this recording doesn't leak out or we'll get tagged. But the Bible describes women as a weaker vessel, not a lesser vessel, a weaker vessel. They are equal in spirit and in spirit and in might spiritually to men. There's women out there that are even stronger than I am, so I can't say physically. There's women at my gym that can lift way more weight than I can. More power to them. Well, I'm not here today to talk about how insufficient women are compared to men, but there are certain things the scripture describes as them being the weaker vessel and them needing more strength and more support. More prayer, more uplifting. I'm not an emotional person, I'm a guy. My wife is an emotional being. She needs my support emotionally. When our three-year-old has tore the house apart for the 15th time today, and we're on the third load of laundry because she soiled everything she owns, she needs my emotional support. Amen. Amen. I come walking in the door, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Where do you want me to start? Does that make her any less of a person than me? No. She just dealt with a different set of stresses than I dealt with that day. And it was a more of an emotional day. And she's dealing with an emotional three-year-old, an emotional situation. And so I have, as a father, as a dad, as a husband, I have a responsibility to uphold and uplift my wife in prayer. And for all the moms, there are times where you look at yourself and you say, How could anybody identify with what I'm going through? How could anybody identify with things that I'm dealing with in my life? And I'm here to tell you today that there are examples and situations of women in Scripture who had to live through things just like you do. Some things more extreme than people in this room have had to live through. Let's look at a few of them today. Think about Eve. Good old Eve. She gets a bad rap. A really bad rap. Everybody dumps on Eve. She was the first mom. She was the first lady. Mother of us all. She got the whole thing started. And she got us all into trouble. I don't know who said it. I don't know if some philosopher or whatever. But the term, it was the greatest of times. It was the worst of times. It was awesome. She was first. She got to set the standard. And then she failed. She messed up. She failed. Anybody here identify with that as a mother? There, there are times that my wife and I will lay our head down on the pillow at night, and in those last few short minutes before we both conk out at 10 o'clock after we finally got the three-year-old wrangled and hog-tied and in her bed and the door locks her, she can't get out. No, I'm just kidding. She says, I think I failed today. I think I may have done this. I think, I know that moms identify with this thing of, I'm the greatest, I'm the hero, I cook the meals, I provide, I do all these things, but then I still let everybody down, I still fail. This was Eve. She was it, she was the example, she was the one that everyone looked to, yet in her private moment, she gave in, she caved in to the voice of the enemy and failed. Then she had two boys, Cain and Abel. And as a mother had to live through one of her sons murdering the other. I don't know if anybody in the room can identify with that today. The pain and the hurt of that. What that must have been like as a mother. These were your children. These were boys that you loved. One getting angry and killing the other and then showing no remorse for it. His answer to God, not to mom and dad, his answer to God was, what, am I my brother's keeper? As though he had a right to do it. Can you identify today? I can't. Maybe moms can't. Can you identify with that today of what it must have been like for her to have lived through that? Her name isn't thrown around as a household name. What about Noah's wife? We're going to build an ark. Okay, whatever you say. And we're going to get about 780 animals. You're what? My wife won't even let me have a dog in the house. He brought home 800 dogs. I don't know how many animals there were. I'm just being extreme. He brought home a lot of animals and said they're going to live in your house and you're going to feed them and you're going to care for them and you're going to smell them and you're going to. I'm thankful that I have a wife who goes along with some of my whims and ideas sometimes. She trusts me. Husbands, your wives need to trust you spiritually. It's important. You're the spirit. You're to be the spiritual leader of your home. It's important that your wife trust you spiritually. That when you come home and say, we're going to build an ark and we're going to get 800 animals, and she says, all right, if that's what we're going to do. But then after that was all over, she had to live through one of her sons being cursed by her own husband. And the separation, the things that happened through all of that. I don't know that I identify with that today, Mom. Maybe you do. Maybe as a mother, you're sitting here today and you identify with Noah's wife. You've had to go through that. I'm sharing that with you today so that you can see you're not alone. Corinthians said, these things, all these things were written for our example. I can hold on to hope today that what I'm going through is not just about me. Somebody else has had to endure this also. Poor Sarah. She gets dumped on a lot too. She laughed at God. Do you realize that she lived 80 plus years without any kids? 80 years, Sister Barbara. 80 years. That was a long time. And then someone comes along and says, you're going to have a kid. Yeah, right. I can barely walk. You want me to carry a child? Then you want me to care for it? And I don't think so. And then the rap that she got where she kicked Ishmael and Hagar out of the house, didn't want them around. You've had to deal with difficult situations and marriages, and you think you're all alone. Well, you don't understand, all my stepsisters and stepbrothers and stepgrandkids. And oh, no, there's examples in Scripture of people who had to go through those types of things, people who had to endure those type of hardships. You're not alone. You're not the only one who's facing the things that have been that you're facing today. What about Rebecca? two sons, made us just a minor mistake of favoring the one over the other. Supported him in his whole debacle of tricking his dad. And then had to put clothes on him, gather his things when she found out that the only way his brother could get back what was rightfully his was for that favorite son to die. Gather his belongings and help them escape, not knowing when she'd ever see him again. Can you imagine that? Somebody came to you today and said, you need to pack your child's things and send him away, and I can't guarantee you'll ever see him again. Oh, my goodness. I'm a dad, and the thought of that kills me. I can't imagine how that must have ripped a mother apart. I'm not saying what she did was right. I'm just talking reality here. I'm just coming down to where the rubber meets the road. It still happened. We're all still human. Listen, we were all born the same way, whether you were born in B.C. 15 or 2015. We're all born the same way. We all have the same blood. We all have the same skin. We all have the same emotional set and makeup. Something that I can't get into all this today, but Rachel. There's some discrepancy. The short little time I've studied this, I'm not really sure where I stand on this, but there's some question as to when Rachel died in Joseph's life. But it would be obvious that she died after the dreams and not before the dreams, because when his father talked to him, he mentioned his mother. And then there's that 11th star or 11th sheath that he saw. Pretty good chance she was still alive through all this. Some people say that she wasn't, but the way the prophecies, the dreams, and everything played out. Everybody talks about how heartbroken Jacob was over Joseph leaving. What about mom? How would a mother deal with that? At some point in that process, she passed. She never got to see him again. I don't know when Benjamin was born, and the timeline of all that's fuzzy in Scripture, but regardless, we like to talk about how tore up Jacob was about losing a son. What about his mom? You ever thought about Moses' mother? We talk about, she put him in an ark made of bulrushes. My goodness. You think you got people on anxiety medication now? She must have taken the first. Here you are, a mom, expecting excitement. I'm going to have a kid. I'm going to have a child. There's a decree. All the boys have to be killed. The girls can stay alive. Then comes the delivery day. What does she bear? A son. She hid him for 3 months, the Scripture says. Can you imagine? The pressure of that. The pressure of hiding a baby. How do you hide a baby? They make a lot of noise. They're not exactly quiet creatures. How do you hide a baby? And then the day that she decided, I'll just go put him in an ark and hide him in the water. And then of all people to find him. I know it was the plan of God. But who says God told her that? Who knows that she knew how it was all going to work out, and that she'd say, I have a wet nurse over here and you can bring him back. And how convenient. I'm sure you had that all planned out, Mo's mom. That poor lady. Do you identify with that? And then having to send him away and let him be part of Pharaoh's house until he decided that he wanted to be a part of the children of God. I'm just talking about identifying with people in Scripture. Not putting things up, not putting people up on a pedestal and saying, I'm all alone and nobody could possibly know what I'm dealing with. I know we talk about this a lot, but what about Mary? So Somebody wrote a song they play at Christmas time that said, "Barry, did you know?" The answer is, yes, she did. The angel came and talked to her. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Yeah, she knew. And she's the one that went and got him at the wedding that we talked about on Wednesday night. Said, "You go get the water, make it wine." You know the rest of the story. "But it's not my time. I'm your mom. Go get the water, turn it to wine. We're out." Yes, she knew. Put yourself in that position. I see myself as insufficient as a father every single day. But being the father of God, having to have Joseph's role, having to be Mary, the mother of Jesus, having to carry this child and birth him into the world and feed him bottles and diapers and nurse him and all those things. I mean, talk about feeling insufficient. Having to raise him. What are you doing tonight? I'm cooking Jesus' dinner. What'd you do today? I'm doing Jesus' laundry. And then to put yourself in her position at the cross that day. I can't imagine the pain that she must have felt. How difficult that must have been for her. Sure, she knew he was the Christ. Sure, she knew that there was a plan and it was bigger than her, and she had just been selected to facilitate a certain period of time. You can't tell me in 33 years she didn't get attached. You can't tell me in 30 years there wasn't some motherly instincts and some connection to that boy. I don't care if he said he was coming back 3 days or not. That had to hurt. That had to be painful to sit there and watch that. I'm not talking about the nails. I mean, that, by that time, if she's a normal human being, she was so desensitized by the time they dropped that cross in that hole and he was up there. I mean, to watch your child go through what he went through. I watch a kid just be mean. He didn't have to touch her. He didn't just be mean to my daughter at a playground at the park. And man, I go, "Aah! You want to fight me, two-year-old?" Just the parent instinct in you. Whether or not she was there to watch it or not, to have to hear about the beating and the whipping and the slapping and the just, I mean, who would you rather have, Jesus or Barabbas? Give us Barabbas. I mean, talk about driving a knife into a parent's heart. The world hates your kid. The then known world would rather have your kid dead than alive. How painful that must have been. I'm not saying all these things today to bring doom and gloom to you, but only to try to help you to identify that he cares about you. He took time throughout eternity to make sure that scriptures and holy writ was recorded so that I could find strength. They were written unto me. These stories, these encounters were written unto me for an example. That I could find strength, that I could draw strength from these things, that no, I'm not alone in this walk called life. I'm not alone in this journey. I'm not by myself. I haven't been abandoned, but he knows, and he puts these things there for me so that I can identify with them and understand that there's other people who've had to go through things like this. Would you stand with me today? Would you pray for a moment before we go any further? Father, we need your strength today. We're thankful, Father, for every mother that's represented in this room today. We thank you for every family that's represented in this room today. And we're grateful to you, Jesus. We're very grateful to you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask today that, normally we open this altar up to everyone, I'm going to ask today if you're here and you're a mother and you're able physically, would you come to the front? And when you come, I want us today as mothers, or you today as mothers, to pray for one another. While I feel like I identify with my wife, I don't necessarily identify with her as a mother. I'm a father. I have my own strengths, my own weaknesses, my own emotional issues. But moms identify with each other. And so as you come today, the rest of us are going to pray for you, and in a minute we may gather around them and pray for them as the Lord leads us. But I wonder today if as the mothers come, if you would find someone to pray with as you come today. And let's pray for one another from your experience, from your own situations, from what you feel, things that you've had to go through, not for yourself, but for someone else. The Lord has, His Spirit has the ability to minister to people from my place of experience, unlike anything I've ever seen before. When I allow His Spirit to begin to be prayed through me and ministered through me to others. Don't be shy. Come on. Go ahead and come on up. Got plenty trying to slip behind through the aisles there. And the rest of us as fathers and brothers and sisters and Christ, we're going to stand with these today, and we're going to pray for them that the Lord would strengthen them, the Lord would upgirt them today. Could we do that together here? In Jesus' name, let the Lord lead you to somebody to pray with. Don't just pray with one, but let the Lord lead you to multiple people if you so would. Let His Spirit be ministered to them through you today. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for this beautiful group of ladies who have gathered here today. We thank you for every single one of our mothers in this church, Father. We thank you for the dedication to you. We thank you for their example to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Pray a covering over each of their minds and their spirits, Father. We pray strengthen them physically today, Father. Those that are weak, those that are tired, Father, I pray strengthen them. Those who continually give themselves, Father, in the workforce, providing for their families, Father, I pray strengthen them today. Give them rest, Father, that only you can give. Rest of your spirit, Father. The rest